If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I'm your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, a special guest. It's that time of the month, Ray Graham.
What's up? How you doing?
Good. Before we get into it, as always, this is a roundtable episode. If you haven't read the title, These are our opinions of our own, right? So don't try to get us fired, or at least try us. Well, I'm speaking for myself, of course. So let's get into the roundtable news. Okay, Ray. This is, I felt like this was a good episode to kind of wrap up GDC. I had a chance to walk around the show floor. You were able to walk around the vicinity, which some say is the real GDC. So let's kind of compare notes.
What do you mean the vicinity? What you mean?
Basically, you didn't buy a ticket and you kind of freeloaded networking.
Well, first of all, I did have a ticket.
Oh, my bad, because you were so adamant about not having a ticket.
No. I had a ticket.
Eventually had a ticket. Okay. Get a chance to walk around.
Yeah. I definitely was all in all the places. I was out. I was out in the park. I was walking around. I was walking around the show floor. The show floor seemed very
smaller.
Felt very much smaller than in past years, which is kind of might indicate how people are trying to save money. And I went to some good talks too. I went to a few good standout talks. I think that were pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed that too. They didn't really have a big Xbox, Sony, or Nintendo presence on the floor at all. It was mostly, yeah. I think it was Meta once you walked in, Epic, and a bunch of other like Tencent or whatever. And then a lot of middleware.
Man, you didn't even mention Unity. Damn.
Unity there? I barely noticed. Well, Unity always did their thing off campus. Is that
the booth? No, the booth was pitiful this year.
It was way back there.
And yeah, like it wasn't way back there. It was right beside the Meta booth, but it was just really small, right? Like, when you compare it to past years, where like it would be half the floor or something crazy, right? Yeah. It was really like a huge scale back, like huge,
right. It is a year of saving money. I think it is crawling back, because I think for myself, last year saw some numbers coming back. This year I felt it was as good as I remembered it back when I went last before COVID, 2019-ish. Yeah. So it was cool to kind of bump shoulders, as always. We basically run that block for the week, which always feels awesome, you know.
Yeah. More than that block is a few blocks, but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. They did clean up downtown.
I that's the thing, right? Is like before GDC, I've been down there every day.
Yeah.
Right. And so cleaned up. Like, I mean, it was the same.
Yeah.
It's always been, right? And even during GDC, I saw some human feces, like you know what I mean, right?
So I still saw some,
Yeah, so like, I mean, San Francisco is just like
that way.
The stories that you've heard have been gravely overstated, 100%. And also like GDC had the cops are out in full force.
Yeah.
At GDC, like full force, right? But I don't even think they were stopping anything because like there wasn't anybody causing any trouble. Like,
I saw a few stops.
I didn't see any stops, but I saw people that were, I did see some drug use and all this kind of stuff going on, right? But like, yeah. it's like from what it was back in the day,
it's better.
And when I say back in the day, I'm talking like 5-10 years ago, even before COVID. Yeah, it's way better.
Yeah. It was nice to be back and not have to step in human feces all the time. Sometimes
that was never the case, but anyway,
any brown spot is human feces is how I see it. All right. But I mean, there was a lot of announcements, you know, just a regular thing, Unreal updates, mm-hmm. this and that. I will say this was hot off the press, right? I'm walking the show floor, the main conversations I would walk by, listen, people are obviously always excited, right, when anything engine related is released or updates, and then they show off the Marvel stuff. However, mm-hmm. there was a lot of real criticism of what the L is Epic doing. I was actually very surprised. Just regular people like us on the show floor.
Really? What?
Yeah, man. People are talking. Well, around Epic, I guess either current or recently released employees were all hanging around there. I personally was able to touch base with a lot, and you know, I think overall sentiment with how the industry is laying off so many people, Epic being mm-hmm. such a big presence there, I think the conversation kind of veered towards what is Epic doing, because this is what I heard, man. All right, this is what people tell me things, okay?
Sure.
All right, that big layoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disney pumping back money into the company, yeah.
mm-hmm.
and people being offered back their jobs slowly, mm-hmm. right? Half their salary.
Sure. Yeah. You gotta maintain costs, right? And if you, like, if you get laid off and then they're going to come back to you, and you're really going to even entertain the offer?
Yeah. Then I think they're doing it right. Yeah.
I think you're already messing up. Like that's a you problem.
Right. The person right? accepting that.
Yeah. That's a you problem. But I think, yeah, of course Epic's going to walk. They're going to need people to build the experiences that they want to build in the metaverse that they're building. Right. And Disney pumping money into it, it's going to help them do that. And then this time around, they'll be a little bit more cautious with how they throw the money around. You know, I think as companies get bigger, this always happens, right? Like the high times just come back down to reality. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say like, what are they doing? I think it's obvious what they're doing, you know, and did people, if anybody has any issues with the booth, you know, I was eating chocolate chip cookies, getting my free t-shirt, you know, just with everybody else, right? Yeah. With everybody else, I was just getting free t-shirts and chocolate chip cookies and popcorn or whatnot.
And beer, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you still got to be able to, you got to be able to market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to be able to be in the hearts and minds of people, even if you did layoffs, right? Let people know that you're still out here, which is why the Unity booth was a bit problematic, you know? I felt
it being there at all, or just how small it was.
Just how small it was, and how little of a presence it had.
Did they hold anything at the office, or no?
I mean, there's always, I don't know, but there was always, like, you know, there's always events and meetings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like the show floor is where you market. You know?
Yeah. Unity has always been my favorite booth to kind of visit.
But also, like, you know, of course they still did the roadmap presentation and the Unity State of Unity presentation and all that, but yeah, like the show floor was kind of disappointing.
Godot. Is it Godot or Godot?
Godot.
Godot. I did see it right then. Godot had a pretty big booth, surprisingly.
I mean, that booth was the same size it's always been. Yeah.
Has it always been there? That's the first time I actually.
Yeah, no, yeah, time. Yeah. But Godot's been at GDC for many years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, they definitely took advantage of that little backpedaling. You know, you did. A lot of people were asking me, is it like a third major player? Does it have any chance of upstaging Unreal and Unity? Like, what are your stance? I mean, I always welcome competition and choice, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about the Godot engine? I haven't had a chance to see it.
Yeah. Really. No, I think for certain games, certain size games, it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just I don't know how well it will scale up to higher end stuff. And also like the console support seems kind of iffy.
It's still very small. Right? How small is the company right now? Do you have any idea?
No idea.
No idea.
I mean, you know, it's you know, like it's an open source thing, right? But then they formed like a separate company to do the for-profit stuff because like everybody else, you know, they realized that like, you know, making an engine costs money, you know?
Yeah.
And making it a general purpose engine costs money and costs a lot of it. And so they're, you know, they created a company to kind of do the for profit part of the open source thing. Right? Mm-hmm.
So like going into this next year and beyond, seeing what you saw, right? We have these commercial engines that I feel are still a big chunk of the industry. Mm-hmm. Proprietary is still special. Is it going to stay that unique, or are we seeing like only a few companies utilizing their own thing going forward? Like, where do you feel? Is it shrinking? Is it the same? Is it growing?
No, I think it's clearly shrinking, right? The number of people that are using custom engines is obviously shrinking, right? Because you've seen some more high profile departures.
Yeah.
To Unreal, like people giving up on their own tech and going, we're just going to use Unreal, right? And like CD Projekt Red being one of the more notable major examples. One,
yeah.
And I mean, after what happened with the Cyberpunk and its platform release, like can't really blame them. You know what I mean? Like they need that stuff to get under control, right?
Yeah.
I think like the custom engine stuff, like at least at the high end, is going away. But then there's people that like maybe in the mid tier making a game with their bespoke purpose that will do their exact thing that they want to do, perform the way that they want it to perform. Mm-hmm. Those people are still using custom engines in some cases.
Yeah. I came to GDC for very specific reasons. You know, I went on behalf of my company to, you know, look at publishers and funding opportunities. And, you know, going into it, I already had like an idea that, this year overall belts are a lot tighter. Right. But, you know, meeting with people on that side, they're still obviously looking for anything that rises above the average to kind of get behind. My suspicion about fake demos with big resumes was anyone just throw a rock into the new startups that just showed up. It was great to get confirmation because we, you know, like I said, there was a lot of middleware companies there. So we were able to kind of talk to them, was able to show, you know, what we had. And they pulled us aside like, yo, man, like these companies, they don't have anything, you know. And this is after maybe a year or two after announcing the studio. They're still in pre-production. They're still trying to find out, you know, find the soul of their game. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my suspicion in the last 2 months has been, especially with the rise of Lethal Company, Pal Worlds, all these kind of hell divers too, right? Double A, smaller budget, smaller team, is increasingly being dominant in terms of at least ROI, right? And at least dev cycles being shorter and realistic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to companies, a well-known company, I won't call them out, and they're like, I felt like they announced their studio 4 or 5 years ago, right? And they were saying how they just got out of pre-production finally.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's a ridiculous amount. I mean, that you're already in the hole. You have to be able to deliver, basically, from the get-go. For that type of pressure to be uplifted, right?
Yeah, but this clearly was a AAA company.
Yeah.
Right? And so therefore they're going for like, oh, we need to make, you know, a gajillion dollars back, right? Because they're going for like, oh, this budget's 100 mil, 200 million. Right? Right, that's the kind of budgets we're talking about, right? Yeah. Higher. I'm like, that budget's too low for a AAA game, right?
Yeah.
So like that's what they're going for. Then like time, what's time? You know, like you can spend money because you have this huge budget, right? And I think that is a problem, you know. But I think a lot of these people got in just at the time when the money was flowing and
crypto money flowing around.
Yeah, especially the venture money was flowing around, and they're like, all right, we got time to figure out what we're doing. I don't think that's the case today. Like if you're coming out saying, hey, I'm creating a company, you don't got 5 years to sit around.
Yep.
You know, and you know that's something I've been thinking about too, is like, okay, so then how do we scope and budget so that it will be, you know,
in the middle.
It would be a reasonable time and a reasonable amount of money that will be attractive to people that would potentially invest or back the studio.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tough formula to try and nail. I think it's not unreasonable to feel like, hey, these group of guys have somewhat of a track record versus a group of kids who just came out of nowhere, right? But, you know, a lot of the times the results could be the same. But like, what's funny is like seeing the release demo of, let's say, the same company, right? It was horrible. Like it's like, this is the best you got, you know what I mean? And it just shows, hey man, I'm just saying how it is. Yeah. And like a lot of these companies are clamping down, like in terms of like, you know, very publicly stating like, hey, you know, we're seeing no ROI. There's definitely a whip at the heels of a lot of these companies, and a sudden shift from, oh, we're out of pre-production, you know, oh, just coincidentally after these companies announced that, hey, we're not seeing any results from any of these companies that we invested in, right? Yeah. To me, I hope, you know, deep down that it will result into something that moves the industry forward as always. But, you know, being a guy who sees things well, like I feel like, oh, here's another one that's going to hurt the industry, right? Not to say that they did it on purpose, but in a way they kind of did, man. I was like, come on, man. Like, don't get together. Say that you're going to create something great and then, you know, make it harder for the next guy, you know? In this case, me and Ray.
why are they making it harder for the next guy though? I don't think it's
all these investment companies, right? Once they get burned, they get a little more insecure about their purses,
no,
man.
No, no.
Yeah, man, I see it, man. I see it, dude.
No, hold on. It's not a zero sum game. One, two. Right. If you're seeing companies and people not willing to free up money, it's really because of just the current economic climate that we're in, right? Sure. Especially when it comes to VCs, they bet money knowing that half of it's gonna bust.
Loss. Yeah.
You know, or more than half, right? Like they're looking for like the top to return most of what they want, right?
Yeah.
So they know that everything is always gonna be a win, right? Yeah. They just have a certain amount of money they need to deploy, and then they'll deploy it. Like, and they'll just figure out the right thing to deploy it to, right? And even in these times, there's still money being deployed, it's just less of it.
Right? Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like they're like, oh, that one bet we did failed, so I'm not going to do another bet. No, like they're just going to, they're rolling the dice. They're at the casino. Like they're rolling more dice. You know what I mean? They just give me another dice to roll. Right.
Yeah.
Publishers might be like a little bit more weary or less willing to take risks, you know, because it's a kind of a different setup. But again, it's still mostly driven by the economy and not necessarily by, oh, that last thing we did failed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take half of that. I'll give you half of that. I think, it plays a part. We can't argue. Yeah. It doesn't play a part. I mean, if the industry keeps failing, who keeps, you know, flushing their money down the toilet, right? I mean, there has to be some kind of calculated risk, yeah. Right?
It's the industry failing, though, because, like, in these last couple of years, all we've seen is nothing but blockbuster after blockbuster, huge, huge sales numbers. Hell, Balatro, that card game, indie card game, sold 1 million units, right? Like, you know what I mean? 1 million plus now, probably, right? Like
yeah, just, but it's
everybody in the midst of all the layoffs, everybody's like, right. It's been the best year for gaming. So many good, high quality games, Helldivers 2, all of this stuff coming out, right? Meanwhile, people are getting laid off like by the thousands, right? So like I would say like there's all these failures happening, right? Maybe there will be in a few years after all of these startups that have sprung up.
I will say this. There needs to be a division of indie developers and then these huge AAA developers that have like 300 people that are starting up, right? I feel like we're riding on the innovation of these smaller companies, right? Saying like, see, we're instantly innovating. Like, when was the last time that a bunch of Respawn guys, right, went and formed a company and be like, wow, they really succeeded? You know, I can't even name one in the last four years.
Honestly, I don't think I've seen any of their games yet.
Yeah. And so coincidentally, they're all out of pre-production finally, right? Yeah, so that those are the names. Those are the titles I'm saying. It's just that I feel it's a weird dichotomy of where publishers and investors are way more critical of these games that have, I feel, a higher rate of success, all right? At least a lower risk of ROI, right? Because they're lower budget. And in terms of mega hits, right? In the last year or so, these smaller companies and smaller games that come out of nowhere are making the news or are making the industry exciting again, right? I just want to be proven wrong once, right? That these big bets are paying off, right? It's one thing to say, it's half and half. It's not 50-50, bro. It's like 99-1. Like, who is creating another Valorant or another League of Legends? Like, where are those guys at? They've been bragging, have been braggadocious about, this is what I see. This is what I see in the news, right? I see Helldivers 2 selling a shitload of units. I see Lethal Company out of nowhere, One Team Army, killing it, right? PAL Company, they copy Pokemon, but who cares? 500 million, don't know what to do with it. Looking for acquisition, right? And then this is what I see from the bigger companies with these big investments and big resumes. Second round funding, $50 million, You know what I mean? That's all I ever see. I never see, like, we actually sold something that people bought, you know, out of this. I never see that. They just only brag about, like, look at how much money we got on promises. You know, look at we're selling promises here, guys. They're so good at that. And I feel that imbalance.
You know, by the way, you know, it's going to hurt, like a hater or salty at all. But
I am just naming facts with a passion, right? I'm just like literally just reading headlines and then, you know, with the big tone, right? That's all I'm saying. Hey, man, if I see a bunch of ex-Blizzard guys like making something amazing that's celebrating more on the sale of their games more so than the promise of their game, I will be gracefully accepting that. You know, I would love to hear that, but the formula of that, just a bunch of guys basically, you know, quote unquote, proven themselves, but not really, right?
Yeah.
Repeating the same downfall.
I'll say this, like, I'm almost in your cap, but for a different reason.
Yeah.
Right. I think you are basically saying like they haven't made anything, right? But for me, it's like when I hear what the thing is, because usually they're like, we're making a blank, right?
Yeah.
And the blank is almost always first person shooter, third person shooter, looter shooter.
Yeah.
Right. Like I hear that a lot. And I'm tired of it.
I'm tired
that,
of it too.
That I'm tired of. I'm tired of like why everything gotta be a shooter, right? Like, there's a brand new studio. You have all the money in the world, and it's going to be a shooter.
Yeah,
right. And that's the thing where I'm like, seems very unimaginative, right?
Well, speaking of unimaginative, right? I saw like on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You know, Jeff Keighley, right? I guess the Judas game from Ken Levine is coming out, right? I guess they had an exclusive first look, right?
What?
Ken Levine's game.
You got a game called Judas?
Bioshock, but not Bioshock, you know what I mean? What? I just looked at that tweet. I mean, it's been announced already, right? Mm-hmm, but, you know, they're finally... All right, so this in a nutshell is how I feel about those guys, right? I don't want to make it us versus them, but I mean, they just kind of went in their corner and dictated that arena of big budgeted games, right? This is a guy where I feel like maybe this generation forgot, but I did not forget, man. All right. After Bioshock Infinite infamously finally shipped, right, in this long drawn out dev hell that they went through, right? Burned lots of cash. Thankfully, was critically highly acclaimed. Did all right, right, in terms of sell. He had this indie dev bug hit, right? I don't know if it had anything to do with our dear friend Steve Gainer having very high notoriety at that time, right? Gone home, right? And it was around that time where a lot of indie devs, smaller teams were getting a lot of huge return on investment success. Right. Journalists. Well,
first of all, this Judas game looks a lot like Bioshock. Hey.
All right. Let me get to the point. Right. Exactly what I'm saying. So this guy, right, Ken Levine, right, decided to close the studio down. Right. Only brought over a handful of developers that he liked and laid off at that time a pretty big number. Right. Nothing compared to now. But at that time, it was like, what, 100, 200 people. Right. Basically like 90% of the studio to go on this venture, still published by 2K. And the idea was to make something different, quicker and more innovative. Right. That was the big marketing thing. 11 years later. Right. Judas comes out. Right. And exactly looks like Bioshock. Well, it's coming out. Right.
Yeah.
And it looks like fucking Bioshock, right? I mean, look, everything about it, the tone of it, it's basically an alternate universe in the Bioshock universe, right? I just hate that bullshit. I like, this is what I see, like these guys who were, and I've said this before, who have done great things, right? I'm not gonna put it past Bioshock was amazing, you know, we owe a lot of, you know, a part of a career to that franchise. Not dismissing. I love Bioshock. Definitely. However, move aside, man. Let the new kids on the block come up with cool shit. Because now I just feel like they're just he's parodying himself. You know what I mean? It's like, this is something I've done before. And here's my knockoff. And I feel like a lot of these companies are doing that. They have done something great. I'm going to do a knockoff with a twist.
I'll say this. Okay, one. I think you are now a hater. I'll just say this.
Telling the truth.
I'll say this straight up, right? Because like one thing is like you are going to invest money, right? Let's just say you, Brandon,
I have money to invest.
You have $5 million, let's say, to invest in a video game.
Sure.
Some kid comes off the street, goes, I have an idea. Has the greatest pitch deck ever for you, right? Looks great. Game looks like something you want to play. This kid has never made a video game before, though, so you're not so sure, right? He's never made a video game before. You don't know what's going on with this kid. He might even say he has a team of other youth that are new or really haven't made anything. They want to go do something. So there's one option. And the other option is like some grizzled veteran that has made games before. He rolls in. He's like, yo, I got a team of 10 people. They all came with me from the last project we worked on. We all worked on something together. It was this hit game. Yo, like, you know, which one are you giving the $5 million to? Like, if you want to de-risk, you're obviously going to give it to the one that has the experience, right? Straight up.
No, right? I'm not going to give it to the guy who is known for prolonging development hell.
You are going to give it to.
I'm not giving it to that guy.
You will. And will maybe not. Maybe if you have $100 million, right, you might piece off some to go and do some riskier bets, but then you're going to put some on some more bets that you're sure about.
Yeah.
Like it's just this how it works, right? And that's why you see all these companies, they roll out of bed. They're like, here's a team of 6 people. Yo, give me $100 million. Here's my business plan. Like, you know, because it's just like, yeah, you've done it before. Let's go. Like the level of doubt is reduced, you know. And I've been in those conversations where it's like where there's doubt and it's like, okay, well, how much grit do you guys have? Or you know, how hard are you willing to work for this? Right. But if somebody's already done it already, a lot of those questions are not even asked. Right. Sure. And of course I laugh at those questions because I'm like, grit, you know, hard work, like that's all I've ever done. Right. Yeah. But when you're like, hey, I was the lead guy that made this game already and the game sold a gajillion units, give me money, it's a lot easier. Right. And that's just how unfortunately that's how it is. Right. And so you're fighting against that. You're going to go for people that are going to invest in new upcoming and fresh ideas, and there those people are out there doing that, right? But when it comes to $100 million, $200, $300, $400 million that you need, right, no one's throwing that kind of money around on something they're not sure about.
Oh, for sure. And I think nobody should be throwing that money around.
Sure. Yeah. I agree.
I feel like games are not that
sustainable.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. There's a reason why. I do feel we're on the verge of the industry reacting. Hopefully. That's another thing that was kind of talked about on a GDC is like, why isn't the industry unionizing at this point, right? We have to do something. It pains me to hear, especially in the state that we are, that people got screwed and then are accepting their old jobs back for half the pay, right? It's so humiliating, you know, to in a lot of ways having to accept that because of whatever circumstances they are in. I mean, simply there's not much out there, right, to choose from. They're probably situated in North Carolina, let's say, where there's nothing there. They don't want to relocate family, right? It's stuff like that I heard a lot, right? It wasn't just one person. It was like a lot that makes me feel really bitter about you know, a company that's public facing saying that's all about the little people, right? Just 2 weeks ago, and doing things like that. You know what I mean? It sounds ridiculous to me that
why are you listening to what companies are telling you about their morals and their
because values? This is what I see. I just realized this over the week, but yeah. Maybe I'm like one of the few that don't go to GC for talks, really, right? I watch that on YouTube, right? I two times that, I subtitle that, you know, I'm not sitting there for an hour to hear you stammer live, right? But, right?
Oh, it's a really good talk, by the way. Hey,
I'm sure there's a lot of good talks, but I'll see you on YouTube, right? I'm there in the network, talk to friends, because that's what I can't do online. Yeah. However, right? When I see like people at the booths and they're showing how to like put materials together, and you have like a whole crowd of basically young kids like enamored with the process, it's like it feels, man, what a opportunity to have such a hold on a chunk of the industry, right? And to do something behind the scenes like that, and at the same time be kind of preaching nonsense, right? It just feels like you're supposed to be a leader, right, in the industry. And you know, it's bad enough that you stole a game idea from one of your you know, major billions.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, stop being so evil, man. It's like, can't you just turn that into good and just be good? You know what I mean?
That should tell you everything you need to know, right? It ain't about evil. It ain't about good or bad or evil or, you know, right or wrong. It's about evil. Money. It's the end of the day. It's about money. Always about money.
I get it, man.
You know, and if a company says their values, this and that and this, and they say it publicly, they're marketing to you. Yeah. It's marketing, right?
But what's stupid? It's how short-term that thinking is to think like this is what I'm hearing, right? And I'm sure listeners can agree. This is what we're saying. Like, these companies letting go directors and leads, right? It's fucking up with the flow of things, right? And the flow of things of how things worked before are definitely slowed down, right? Because these pivotal people are gone. Also, right? They are killing the morale of what you call it, survivor's guilt, right? I mean, I feel like most people, yeah, there might be a little survivor's guilt, but at the same time, it's like, yo, man, I used to hang out with the guy all the time, and now he's just gone, and anybody is able to be gone now. And like, how they killed any sense of, I mean, you've always been a proponent of fuck loyalty, right? However, yeah. However, you need a little bit of that to function as anything that's 2 to 3 year plans, right? Otherwise, you're just gonna keep bleeding talent left and right.
Well, one thing is, like, I don't think companies want to lay off people. I don't think they do, honestly, because I think it's really is kind of like the last thing.
This is where I'll add the step in. We're very well known companies, right? That we all know, you know. I've heard that recently gone through these thousands of layoffs, right? That they have a list for a year before this happened that they've been compiling, and it's just a great opportunity to get rid of people you don't like or whatever.
Okay, there's also that, right? It's like it's like when time comes. Oh, here's the thing, right?
Yeah,
you can't get rid of people you don't like just like that without fear of getting sued. Right. Even in an at-will state, you can still get sued for wrongful termination for whatever reasons, blah, blah, blah. You have to really make sure that you don't get sued. Right. And so then now you need to save money and you need to cut people. Of course, you want unregrettable attrition to happen first. Right. That's the more PC business way of saying you're firing people you don't like. Right. Unregrettable attrition. You just want those people to get up out of there. Yep. Right. And so then that's the time to do it, because now you have layoff, you give them severance and the whole nine. Right. I found it really interesting. You said earlier, just like in your rant there,
Yeah, I saved a lot of interesting things. So please pick one.
He said something interesting about directors and leads being let go, and it's messing with the flow of things. Then I know people on the other side of the equation that are like, all of these directors and leads, there's too many of them, and they get paid too much. They need to go.
Sure.
They're not doing anything. They're just taking up space, right? And then, you know, and that's like the younger folks or the folks that are further down on the totem pole are all like, these guys are idiots.
And they
need to get up out of here.
Yep.
So I find it interesting that, like, I hear that a lot in some certain situations, and I'm hearing you advocating for more leads and more directors. All right. But it could also be the built-in bias there, where you are also a lead and a director, you know?
Hey, man. So you track my journey from the beginning of this podcast to now. I've been in all those roles, and I see a significant, like, you can't get rid of all, right? There are some pathetic directors and leads that are like, what are you doing there, right? I'm not dismissing that. But if you get rid of everything, you're basically blowing, in my opinion.
They're not getting rid of everything,
man. Some of these companies are getting it's a numbers game for them. Like, there's no sense or anything about it. It's literally like a numbers thing.
If you get rid of two projects, there's only so many lead directors you need. If you only have one project now, you know what I mean.
There's the only game companies that have always succeeded, and this is something Helldivers 2 is really, you know, this is a smaller company, AA company, right? They resonated the message of, like, yes, we got a lot of money. No, we're not going to overhire. And what is important for us is to maintain the people and the culture, because that's the knowledge that is going to make us successful. Yeah. These companies who are basically for profit quarterly, right? It's all about what's going on the next 3 months, right? It's exactly the opposite of how to run a creative company, right? 100%. It's just not possible to relearn, reteach, and motivate with a new group every 6 months, right?
It's always been
like that.
Yeah, I already said the one thing that we've done, the worst thing we've done to the game industry is we started selling games for money. that is the worst thing that's happened to the industry, right? Because then it's you have to balance creativity with making money, right? Yeah. And in a lot of ways, you see a lot of, that's where all microtransactions and free to play and all these different economic schemes have come up, right? It's through the need of, like, we need to show growth and we need to grow revenue, we need to grow users. And in some cases, it marries nicely with the creativity and you get really good games out of it. And in other cases, it's clearly like, this is clearly a cash grab and this is clearly a terrible game, right?
Right.
It's hard to balance those things, right? And then to top it off, then you like become a public company, right? Yeah. And you're really making investors. Yeah. Yeah.
Going down the wrong path. I will say this, like, and I felt this for a while, right? Yeah. It's not like I hate Epic, right? I just don't like the hypocrisy of the messaging. Just be real. Right. I have more respect. I have more respect if they can. I was like, yeah, so what? We stole Fortnite. I was like, oh, dude. Respect. I mean, it's the biggest heist in gaming history, right? And they pulled it off. Somehow, you know, PUBG sued and they settled, right? They're like, you know, we're good. It's like, all right. I mean, even PUBG backed off. That's cool. But don't be doing all this bullshit. Like when I see, like, the presentation, right? Usually a lot of tech demos, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, in terms of marketing flair, right?
Yeah.
It's just that now. It's been like that for years. Like, my theory behind Epic is they ran out of designers, or at least the designers there are muffled, right? Because they only show fly-throughs now. Like, I don't see any game design or any innovative design in anything that they show in their marketing anymore. It's always like a camera fly through and at most. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Can I say something very controversial?
What?
I don't think Epic ever made good games.
They make Gears of War. Unreal Tournament.
Let me repeat it louder for you. I do not think Epic ever made good games.
So you don't like Gears.
I do not like Gears of War. I do not like Unreal.
But can you recognize it changed the paradigm of third person a bit? All right, Resident Evil 4 was a big milestone. I feel like Gears of War for a moment made it. It had its own thing.
People liked it, and people can like things.
Right.
That's completely cool with me. Fine. Right. But if you're sitting here telling me, holding up Epic as some sort of game design paragon, I think you're tripping. Straight up. I think you're tripping.
Okay. I'm always saying that because people hold Fortnite as some kind of once in a lifetime game design, but it wasn't even their idea that made it great.
Honestly, I think Fortnite had the bones, right? I tell everybody, save the world mode. I actually enjoyed it.
If you take the bones of 3D art, textures, some animation.
The whole building thing and the
it was
content. It just needed some good polishing and some balance.
It was going to do okay. 3-4 million units, but nothing compared to what they have with Fortnite. Well,
of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't have survived as they did with just 100%. That.
Yeah, 100%. But also I think that if they didn't even know when they did the whole Fortnite thing, when they stole the idea in quotes and did the pivot to Battle Royale, I don't think they even realized.
I got some birds. To give me some lowdown behind the scene, man. And this is what I've heard, right? Spread it out, Unchainers, right?
Yeah.
They had access to the code for PUBG. They saw the servers being lit up. They saw the path of its success being explosive. And that's when they pivot internally to create the mode. So that is some inclination of they kind of knew a bit.
No. They knew it's going to do better than what they had.
Yeah, okay. Right? All right.
As big as Fortnite is today.
The phenomenon, of course. It's a lottery. Yeah. They're having similar, what I equated to the Disney prompt, right? With all the Avengers making multi-billion-dollar success, right?
Yeah.
And even Bob Iger publicly said, when he came back, said, if we're trying to measure our success by these crazy once in a lifetime numbers and see that as a failure, we're never going to be better, right? We're never going to be matching up that Avenger Endgame saga, right? That was a rare striking gold thing. In the same way that Fortnite, I think they're realizing that even with Lego Fortnite, I'm actually a fan. That marriage of what they did was excellent, right? They're not hitting the numbers that they hoped for. It's doing good.
I mean, it's doing great.
But it wasn't internally. They wanted that Fortnite number to be explosive, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't get that. So they're kind of looking at that as it was cool, but it wasn't what we expected to kind of give us that second wind, right? Of basically throwaway money that they all enjoyed, right?
I mean, the way I look at that is let's say you were dating Naomi Campbell or something at one point.
Sure.
And then you guys break up.
Yeah.
And then you go and you end up dating Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're complaining.
Yeah.
That it's not Naomi Campbell.
Yeah. We wouldn't complain.
It is Janet Jackson.
We wouldn't complain.
Right. So I don't understand.
But those guys. All right. I'm just saying. All right. We are a little different than them. All right.
Yeah. I'm just saying. There's not much to cry about here, right? Yeah, and especially you see what the plan is, right?
Yeah. With the mobile.
Lego Fortnite is but just one cog in the metaverse craziness that they're doing, right? Yeah. So, and then here comes Disney. Here's $1.6 billion. Let's build some amusement parks, yo. Like, you know, it's gonna get crazy, right? And so, like, these things by themselves don't need to do huge crazy numbers, but like if a lot of them do like sustained numbers.
Yeah, it's all part of the puzzle. I mean, that's another angle that I'm sorry, man. Like I all these developers and all these people kind of championing UEFN as being like, a second source for game developers. Like, shut up, man. They're using you, dude. Like, I feel like these big brands like Disney, right? You go to UEFN, it's going to be Lego Fortnite, Disney Fortnite, right? It's going to be Nike Fortnite. And then it's going to be your crap, right? Your crap underneath, right? Yeah. And it's always going to be that way. And it sucks, right? Because they're not, like, it's the messaging, man. I have the most problem with the bullshit messaging. That's it. Like, the business plan, yo, killing it, right? However, as a guy
they paid billions of dollars to creators, Brandon.
Okay, all right. Billions. Let's go to the top creators. Who are they? If I go to LinkedIn, it's probably ex-Epic guys that quit their job to create UEFN that knows like the back, you know, alley of how to navigate this and get their friends to kind of get them rich. They're just people getting each other rich, right? It's not. There's a conflict of interest, right? With just the way they do things. Oh, yeah. They're a developer and they're an engine maker. That's the problem, right? Because there's no way in hell your game is gonna outrank my game, right? And it sucks because their whole message is that it's all about the people, man. You know, we're fighting Apple because of you. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude. Just be real, man. You're definitely
right about the Apple thing. Definitely right about that. Like that. Yeah. Like it's clearly self-serving and it's all about making money. Right.
Yeah. Like, but like, I thought I was just in a corner. I was like, am I the only one? Am I the only non-sheep, right, of this world? Right. But it was cool because on the show floor, everybody was echoing the same thing. I was like, oh, cool. All right.
Well, you know, at least game developers. The same thing around, like, they weren't saying all of what you were saying. Like, no way.
They were bits and pieces saying, like, this is bullshit on what they're doing because they have friends, like, we have friends that were starting to get offered back their old jobs, half their salary. Right. And, you know, it's very easy, especially in a time like this, to put yourself in their shoes.
Honestly. Yeah. Rehiring people at half the salary is nothing to do, though, with the design of their games are whack and the metaverse.
Well, it comes from this Apple. It comes from the same stuff, people right? that are right. bullshitting the messaging, right?
But yeah, I think that's a completely different thing, honestly. Like, it's just like kind of a tangential thing, right? Where it's like, okay, we want to hire people back and we just have to reduce our costs, right?
Yeah.
And hey, this is what the job is. Take it or leave it, you know? That's kind of how I see it. But I think there's a lot to critique there, but at the end of the day, it's about money, their market position. You said something about conflict of interest.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because that's an eternal debate forever. Should an engine maker make their own video games or not? How else are you going to know how to make video games using your engine if you don't make video games with your engine? But then people say, oh, you're competing with your customers, right? And that's bad.
And in some cases, when
you compete with your customers, you end up stealing their ideas and then making more money than them and squashing them like little bugs. And here's the thing where I'll push back on UEFN a little bit, right? Is I think UEFN is a good thing. If you're going into like, hey, I want to learn how to make game dev. I want to be graduated into the Epic ecosystem and grow as a game developer and as a content creator and get somewhere where Roblox is not enough for me now. I need to graduate up a little bit. Let me put do UEFN. And then
now
we're feeding the ecosystem of game developers through this thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're telling me I'm creating a company and I want a venture capital investment to make UE end games. I think that's absolutely the silliest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Right. Because now you're basing your whole company on a platform that could go away at any minute. And not only that, a company that has more money than you will ever have that can just deploy high quality stuff that'll crush your stuff potentially immediately, right? It seems like a very, very risky thing to be investing money into.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
That reminds me, right?
Yeah.
This kind of like bullshit machinery happening with Epic, right? I mean, they at the same time, there was a couple things, right? At the same time, they announced this major project for Unreal developers, right? Geared towards students, right? Mm-hmm. About uploading and working together for free, right? In this program that they have, and basically have weekly meetings for feedback.
Okay. Accelerator program.
Not even a seller program. Just upload your shit for free. And the exchange is that you get feedback from professionals. It's not even students. It's like new developers, right?
Okay.
All right. Okay, man. If it wasn't for all the other shit, then I'd be like, oh, this is a great, you know, incentive to new developers. But how manipulative is that? To like basically give us your free work. I went through that process just to kind of see what kind of contracts that you have to like sell your soul for. Obviously, everything is theirs once you upload. Right?
Obviously.
The only thing that you get is like these weekly feedback, which is basically scrum meetings. Right. You're this is like an intern program, but not really internship. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I feel like I'm seeing like before they laid off, he's like, hey, this is what we can do. You know, for the good people that we like, let's lay them off, offer them half because shit, there's nothing else. Yeah. Instead of hiring new people, I know you suggested that earlier, right? For a fraction of the salary. What if we just make this accelerate program and they work for free? Oh my God, right? Everyone's like high-fiving each other, those guys in suits laughing their ass off, right? It was like, and we'll say it's for them, you know, and they're gonna celebrate us.
No, I absolutely
bullshit. Yeah. All right,
no, I absolutely detest things like that that ask for free work. I absolutely, especially when it's like some charity, like or some philanthropic or social impact type of thing. I absolutely hate it. It should always be like, hey, join this program. Here's a stipend.
This is what you get.
Focus
on
this. It is still your stuff. We won't steal it. We won't we won't own it. Right. Like I think that's of course a way better way of doing that stuff, of course. But like all too often you see that in industry though, like you enter something and then they own the thing because really it's the easiest way for them to get rid of their liability.
Yeah.
Right. Because if they do come up with something that's kind of similar to your thing, you'd be like, hey, you guys stole my idea. And they'd be like, no, we didn't. And then that, next you know, they're in court trying to prove that they didn't steal it. So they're just like, screw it, we'll just own it. Right. But the other way around is like, you know, put things in place so that that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And definitely when it comes to youth and younger people or people early in their career, it definitely should be something that they get compensated for, right? More than just, I'll just talk to you about how cool your art is, you know? So
it's 100% going to be like that. The problem with Epic with their community is that they're starting to have the reputation of Google, right? They don't follow through. I mean, they tried this years ago with Unreal Tournament, right? It's like, hey, instead of creating an internal team, why don't we get the community to make the art for us? You know?
Those maps, making maps
for us to continue Unreal Tournament, right? Yeah. At first, it sounded like, oh, look, it's so cool. Yeah. Those small, impressionable, talented people. Right, eventually fizzled out because
some of the biggest names in the industry got their start those making map mods and stuff.
In Half-Life, right?
Not even Half-Life, dude. I forget your age sometimes, but like what? before Half-Life,
my age is Half-Life. So there was two generations, your generation, my generation, that there was honest, like honest road maps to becoming a game developer. A lot of those people making Counter-Strike maps became developers at Valve, right?
You still need to go further back.
Are you talking about Quake?
Anyway, continue.
I get you, right? Yeah. I get that. I love that, right?
Yeah.
That's not what's happening right now. Because I know how that feels and what that looks like, and I'm seeing just straight up predatory practices. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, they want free. I mean, they're creating a fab store, right? Hey guys, instead of like, you know, us making the assets, why don't you make the assets? And then we're just gonna own it. You know, it's like, that's a great idea. Well, it's fabulous, right? That's the idea.
At least on the fab store, at least you get a cut, right? You get
10% of what you made. Yeah,
no, it's more than 10%, right? Isn't it the same 70-30 split on the fab store? Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever bullshit they come up with. Right? But like the idea that they want to transition to, and this is where I feel UEFN is, right? People spend their time, perhaps get better, create better content, UEFN. Yeah. Epic enjoys all that, you know? We keep trying to champion the what is 85-15? I think that's the Epic cut, right? Mm-hmm. Or is that just for selling games, right?
Yeah,
they're 85, you're 15. You know, like that's how.
Yeah,
yeah. But like this, so.
But you know how it is. Like, you know, we all know how much money it takes to make a compelling video game, right? Yeah, how much risk is involved in making a compelling video game in order to make the money back and make something in the future and be sustainable, right? Yeah. All of these big companies are like, let's use our bigness to our advantage.
Yeah.
Where we don't have to put up all the time.
Yeah.
And we have to have some other pieces of income coming in, especially when it comes to Epic, because Epic, you know, almost went out of business numerous times throughout their career, right? And there's always been some big thing that happened that's like brought in the money and saved the company.
Well, you know why I'm reacting this way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was at these parties, right? Just for observation, right? These late night mixers.
Sure.
And I'm seeing these young, impressionable girls like sitting there with their iPad, showing their portfolio to the older gentleman with the, you know, alcohol in their hand. And like, yeah, I work here, you know, this and that, right? Not really looking at the portfolio, but poor young kids thinking that somehow would translate to a job, right? I feel like, holy crap, how have the industry not changed? And not only have it not changed, it multiplied to corporate bigness, right? To me, the Epic thing with the store with UEFN is the equivalent of that. It's like, hey guys, we can help you get in the industry with no risk. But if it succeeds, you know, I eat more. You know, it's like, it, to me, it looks exactly like that scene that I saw at these poor mixers with these kids trying to get in the industry.
My main mistake is not stepping in.
Let me finish this. It's not stepping in. Basically, like, smashing that portfolio down. I was like, silly kids, AI is making all this concept art. What are you doing? Like, these guys, drawing.
So what I'm saying is, like, community is important.
Yeah.
Right.
And they need a place.
You're knowing your community and having people to talk to know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing in your career, having proper mentors, having people to guide your career.
Yeah.
All of these things are super important. Right. Yeah. At the end of the day, right. Like, you have to make the decision, right. Is it worth whatever the downsides are for where you need to get, right? And if somebody wants to do you a fan, like I said, they could go ahead and do it, right? I just wouldn't base a profitable business on it, right? And of course, Epic is going to take their cut, because of course they're bringing users to you, they're giving you the platform. You can argue that all of that isn't worth the cut that they're taking.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Go somewhere else. You know what I mean? And then you look around and you're like, oh wait, there's nothing else, right? And so that's also why
Roblox.
and you think Roblox is well known for child labor, right?
Yeah.
And so like you know, like, you look around and that's why you need more competition, you need more people making engines, right? But it's such an expensive and money intensive business, right? Yeah. That it's like, it's really hard, right? But you just have to become knowledgeable to make the right choices for yourself, right? Like, and I can't knock any company that's like, y'all, we're going to provide a platform and these are our terms of our platform. Should your terms be better? Yes. Should Apple's terms be better? Yes. Should Apple not be so crazy with what they do on their platform? 100%. Do I think a lot of it is about controlling their ecosystem with the iron fist? 100%.
No.
Go somewhere else if you don't like it.
No.
Like, straight up, right? Because they make the rules, right?
It's their platform. Here's the difference of why I feel like, for Apple, I don't feel so against their stance. It's like they are unapologetically, this is our walled garden, this is how we run things. You know what I mean? They never.
They're not though. They say it's about your security and your privacy. Why sure. They do these things, right?
That which even is, sounds better is, to me.
Which is actually the thing that makes it sound better,
because it's kind of true.
Because it's kind of true.
Yeah,
but it's also kind of not true at the same time, right?
Right.
And so, like, that's the thing about it, right? Like, yeah, but you do have security, you do have privacy, but you can still get hacked. You can still get your shit took. Like,
sure,
100%, right? Apple might even do it. They might just take your shit and advertise.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But they're, you know, they can still argue they're better than Android phones or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like, they're, because of where they are and how dominant they became, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like how Epic is somehow putting themselves in terms of morality above them, like above Apple. It's funny that they're in a lawsuit together, because they probably share a lot of the same ambitions than not, right? Mm-hmm. Epic would love to be the number one gunslinger in town that owns the market share that Apple has in terms of phones, right? They're aiming to be like that. Tim Sweeney is like gleefully going to bed wishing that, right? So like, it's just the messaging I hate. It's like, just, you want to be dominant, you want to own everything, you know, and you want to do it as cheaply as possible. Just say that, right? But like, the bullshit, you know what it is? It's just the demeaning messaging to game developers. It's like, hey, you guys are idiots, do as I say, right? And it was kind of nice to see, like, okay, not all of us are idiots. You know, everyone's talking about the same thing, right? We're all, it's such a small industry, so niche. We know what's going on, right? I just don't think the gamer as a whole probably feels that way. But to be honest, like the one thing that I, you know, briefly, you know, just going outside of that bubble, that a gamer just stopped by because they saw the badge. It's like, hey man, they didn't ask about Epic. They didn't ask about Unity. They didn't ask about Meta. You know what they asked about? You can probably guess. Rockstar. That's all they cared about. It's like, hey, GTA. Can't wait for that, man. You know, to me, it's like, that's a company that, yeah, has a lot of controversy earlier. Yeah, a lot of bullshit. But man,
understatement of the century.
Of course. Hey, man, our podcast is like surrounded by everything that Rockstar did, right? But man, do they deliver? You know what I mean? They just deliver and deliver. It's like, God, and there's no one else that comes close. So it's hard to say, like, and I've heard they've done better, right? From this last one, I heard like at least it's acknowledged that maybe we shouldn't kill people making games. I heard it's actually being delayed. Did you hear that? 2025.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Yo, bro, I'm just going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there, right? Because it's like this, right? We always celebrate the huge successes, yeah, and the huge things, and we idolize people that like that deliver results all the time.
Yeah,
and sometimes we think that the outcome of the thing outweighs the cost of the thing, yeah, right? And also by doing that, we also ignore a lot of times people that are successful doing things in different ways.
Yeah.
Right. And like it kind of happens with like, you know, people like Steve Jobs and Elon and all that have, yeah, done like really interesting things that are impactful to the world, but yeah, at the same time are like flaming assholes and deeply, deeply, deeply terrible people. Right. Yeah. And have done a lot of bad shit. Right. And sometimes we sweep all the bad stuff away because, oh, look at this good thing they've done. Right. Yep. And so like we have to be able to hold both those things in our head and come to terms with both of those things at the, yep, same time.
Yep.
And then also say, well, can we do better,
yep,
than this? Right. And that's how I feel about Rockstar. Right. It's like, yes, GTA 6 will come out. I will play it.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy.
Yeah.
It'll be the Rockstar thing. And like I say this all the time when I see like really good games, I just see the pain and suffering every time I see. that's all I see. Work. All, yeah, I see is the pain and suffering on the screen, and other people are like, "Yee, I'm playing games and I'm shooting people in the face."
Yeah,
yeah, this game's great.
Yeah.
I see the cost that costs, right?
Yeah, sacrifice,
many,
for sure.
How many marriages got broken up or whatever, right? How much, right, hours, like who has a health problem right now,
right,
because of working on this game, right?
Yeah.
Who has a mental health problem from being yelled at from some douchebag dude that everybody says is game, right, design god, right? Right. Like that is the cost that we have to really think about, you know?
Right.
And prioritize more than just the cost of like, it's a great game.
I mean, I'll end it like this. Rockstar is making a fantastic game on their own engine and they laid, yeah, off less people than Epic. So therefore.
They print money all day, man.
They print money all day. In the end, Rockstar is better than Epic. I just want a new hero in town, man. I don't want it to be Epic, man. I feel like they represent too much evil. Unfortunately, their engine's awesome, and it's hard to like not, you know, develop on that. But man, be better, dude. It's just we just need a big voice right now. Like I feel like Gabe needs to come out and say something. Like we don't have like a big wig of that caliber coming out and just saying something, you know what I mean? It sucks that like, is this how it's going to be? Me, you get to a certain place where like we're king of the world and we just turn our backs on the industry that made us who we are. I just hate that cycle of bullshit. Like this is like, to me, a perfect time for those figures to say something, do something about it. Right. But everyone like this, like, it represents why we're not unionized. It represents why this keeps happening. It's like we're kind of spineless. from the top down.
Honestly, somebody else said this, and it's really interesting. I don't know how much unionization would actually help our industry.
Yeah.
I think it will help us in terms of the severance you get.
Right.
Right.
When you do get laid off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it ain't going to help you from getting laid off. Right?
Yeah. It's going
to
happen.
And, you know, it's not going to make it cheaper to make video games.
Yeah.
Right. It's not going to change the ever needing need for growth and the greed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so like, yeah, maybe it makes your layoff a little bit more palatable for you.
Yeah.
Right. But getting laid off is still going to suck.
Yeah, I think it won't stop layoffs, but I think from what I've heard and talked to people, at least give pause. It's like, maybe we don't get rid of that guy who just chews weird, right? Maybe we'll just keep him around. Like, it's so easy to get rid of anyone right now. This was such a perfect opportunity to get rid of anyone.
I think all it's going to do is, like, you're going to end up making harder choices, longer choices for who you hire.
Yeah.
And so then people on the teams are just going to end up doing more work. Right.
I do feel that that's necessary. Yeah. There's definitely a balance, rebalancing of things, but maybe that's what we kind of need, because the way we're doing things is not working, man. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, I'm kind of criticizing how many people we laid off, but like, I'm equally on the side of like, why do we hire that guy? It's like, you know, it's so many. Hey, man, yeah. I'm on both sides. You know, I mean, like, why are we hiring that dude? Right. Like, I feel like that needs to be equally as aggressive in terms of like just not let anyone in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because that ruins some companies, things.
Yeah, and some companies take that stance, and they're notoriously hard interview processes, hard to get in.
Yeah.
You know, and they stay small and you don't hear a peep from them. You just see them doing their thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that are like, we need to make this blockbuster game in 8 months, and they need to hire 200 people because the government says we need to hire 200 people.
Yeah.
So we could get that government subsidy and whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you could hire whoever you can, you know, and make up roles and get people in there, and then money dries up and you're like, oh snap, what happened? Right.
It's a tough problem. I don't think it's all unique to our industry. I do feel our industry, before any other industry, have always had this issue of layoffs and end of game cycles and stuff. I mean, even when we look at our close cousin, I don't think that industry is that much better, right? Movie industry, which to me sounds kind of horrible. Contract to contract, some of these are 3 months. I mean, a lot of those guys come to the game industry for stability, right? But unionized, and they do have, like, I mean, it is to be effed with, like, if someone says we're unionizing, it's like, yeah, I can't talk about the movie I've been working on 10 years. It's like, wow, that's some power right there. I hope. And the only people that can actually tackle this issue is like someone like Gabe Newell or someone who are ex-Blizzard guys who came back and like, hey, I made all my money. There really isn't like a major risk for me personally, right? I'm going to pioneer like a new way of doing things, right? Let me kind of get my buddies together and make it mutual. That's important thing. Like, I don't want someone to unionize and be just employee first only, right? It needs to be 50-50 for it to be long lasting. I'm all for that. What that means for, you know, as an employer myself, right? Right. I know, like, I need to hear fair terms for me to agree to any of this bullshit, right? So like, but that's the unfortunate thing. Like, none of these guys, I feel like people make their money, and the only thing I hear common is like, don't get into games. That's all they really say usually. The people who reach the highest success is like, don't do games.
I hear people saying that, like, I don't know if I could ever tell the youth to get into games. I'm like, I take the opposite approach.
Yeah.
Right. Because like, straight up, anybody who's in this is really passionate about it and loves doing it. And so like, I tell the youth them the truth.
Yeah.
And ask them, are they sure?
Yeah.
Right? Like, straight up, right?
It's gonna be tough.
And if you see all of that and you're like, yeah, I want to do it. And I've had students come to me after they've been in the industry, which is also great when you see a student that you've mentored and taught and helped and they get into the industry and they've come back and then they're like, oh man, I heard you guys say how bad it was out here. But damn, damn, I didn't even realize, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're still there and they're still grinding. They're still doing the thing because they're passionate about it and they love it, right? Yeah. And that's the, and companies will take advantage of that. But you have to have that to do this anyway. Even in a good situation, you have to have the passion, right? And so just telling them, oh, no, the industry sucks. You shouldn't do this. Like, is there a better place to get your creative outlet satisfied?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm all for, like, it's the funnest thing ever. And it's only getting, that's the irony of it with all these issues. It's the industry is getting, it's bigger than it's ever been before. There's more use cases for, I mean, GDC, you know, just seeing the technology. And there's a reason why Disney is investing in Epic. They want to use the metahumans or the engine for their amusement park. They want to be greeted by AI holograms, basically, right? Mm-hmm. That is able to respond, take in information, and interact with guests, right? As the characters. There's so many use cases. It's going to be explosive in the next few years, right? Mm-hmm. The setback is annoying. It will bounce back. A lot of those people will find jobs eventually if they don't get, you know, if they can hold out, right? Whatever this pause is about. But I don't imagine, I can't imagine this happening again without any resistance, because right now, largely, there is no resistance. And I think a lot of people,
layoffs.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen again, right? I don't know to this scale,
100%.
But I have a hard time thinking that it's going to be met with no resistance again, like this time, right? Not a lot of people are saying anything. They're just taking it. I mean,
this is the most I've heard anybody ever talk about layoffs in the industry.
What's being done? Like, that's...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but before... You know, like I've told a story, there was layoffs happening.
Yeah.
My team was all worried.
Yeah.
And people couldn't believe it and were freaking out.
Yeah.
And then I see it was me and two other like old heads on the team. And those dudes were just like cool as a cucumber. Right. And why? Yeah. Man, these dudes worked at like ARM
everywhere.
They worked at SGI.
Yeah.
Right. They've been through it. They've seen it all. They know what I mean? Right. Yeah. And they're just sitting there going, like, why are y'all tripping? Right. Like this is like we've seen this before. And like me, like at EA, man, like you know, people always complain about the way layoffs happen. Oh my God, they sent me an email.
Yeah.
How about you come to work one day and all the doors are unlocked and there's boxes stacked up by the doors and you sit at your desk and you just wait. And wait for someone to tap you on your shoulder to tell you if you have a job or not.
That is
that is horrible, right? And then that happens every year.
Yeah.
Like clockwork, you can set your watch to it, right?
Yeah.
I won't say what company it is, but if people know, they know, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can set your watch to it. Fiscal year, it's time. Right. Yeah. The doors are unlocked. Right?
Yeah. Like, before all this, December is always scary.
Yeah. So we took it then, right? Like nobody said anything about that stuff back in those days, right? And now people are actually starting to say things. And so at least they're saying stuff and they're, you know, they're letting out screams at the park at GDC and all that kind of stuff. Right. But at least people are saying stuff and doing stuff, which is way more than they have in the last 20 years. Right. And maybe.
You hear that? Did you see that? I see news about it. I didn't hear or see any of that.
I didn't see it. No, I
was
heard about it.
I was up. I crossed that park like five times a day. Didn't see anything.
It was like a Wednesday. But anyway, but like it doesn't matter. Right. But I'm just saying like.
I get you. It has always been this way. Yeah.
There's going to be more layoffs. It's a cycle, right? And you might think, well, you think these companies would learn their lesson. Some will, and some always have, and others do not, you know. So
the only thing I hate more than these layoffs are these companies that are found, and their statement is about treating people fairly and not laying people off, you know, as kind of like a protest. But I was like, man, that's a bad reason to be existing, man. It's like, where's the game? You know what I mean? It's like, make a good game. That's how you prevent layoffs. You know, just be a good game company. Because as soon as something, because I've seen it many times, as soon as the money start running short, what goes out of the door? it's like a diversity, all this stuff that they were championing, you know, because it sounded good and they don't mean it.
Yeah. You know, did you notice on that topic, my favorite topic, have you noticed that like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a new company getting started, it was always being created by diverse teams, always. Even if the team wasn't diverse, it was always in the PR.
It was the buzzword, yeah.
It was always in the PR. Mm-hmm. Now I've seen quite a few new teams get created, and somehow they're not mentioning anything about being the first team. It's very odd how that's happening.
It's not bankable anymore, man. You gotta go offices. It's gonna be all white teams.
here's a different take on it. It was never
a thing. Yeah.
So that's what it
is. But yeah, the same way I'm saying that, that's the first thing that goes as soon as money gets short. A thing, then
it's not a sincere, widely held value or belief. Nope. It's just bullshit.
It's bullshit.
More times.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. So this episode is about bullshit, sponsored by Epic. I want to thank you, Ray, as always, to rant with me. I mean, the positive thing about GDC is like, hey, the industry is growing, man. It's more profitable than ever. I mean, there's a lot of new technology. It's very exciting things, right? I know we didn't spend a lot of time on that. But, you know, this is the year of bullshit. You know, we're seeing, and a lot of good people are kind of waiting on the sidelines and can't wait to get in, which they'll eventually find if they can hold out. But it sounds like, I think what we said was around June, July. I mean, you mentioned after March, the next quarter, things will start picking up, which they will. But I don't think until June, where we feel like a majority of our friends are hired again, which is probably the way it's going to go. So,
yeah, I think actually the majority of my friends already found jobs. Oh, but
your friends are better than mine then. OK, yeah. You win, Ray.
No, but I think there's jobs out there. There's a lot of people out there. It's harder to come by. It'll take a while, but a lot of really good folks I know, you know, they're lucky enough to have many options and many choices.
Be an engineer. All right.
Not all of them are engineers, by the way. The majority, yes.